to turn to the book of Matthew. Be looking at four different verses. We'll begin in Matthew 6. Want to speak tonight. This morning we spoke on a faith commended by Christ. Tonight we want to speak on a faith rebuked by Christ. And we'll see this in each of these verses. In Matthew 6, verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Matthew 8, verse 26, "And he said unto them," the apostles, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" In Matthew 14, verse 31, these words are spoken to Peter. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And then in Matthew 16, in verse 8, again speaking to the apostles, "Which when Jesus perceived," that is, that they were reasoning among themselves, "he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread?" In each of these verses, Christ is the speaker, and he has seen making a statement regarding faith. O ye of little faith. And those words serve, of course, as a rebuke. They serve as a reprimand of a certain type of faith in his people. Again, it was very common practice for Christ to take notice of faith in individuals. And I believe he still does. He said concerning the Roman centurion's faith, again in Matthew 8 and verse 10, "So great faith." And to the woman of Canaan in Matthew 15, "Great is thy faith." In both of those incidents, he was commending their faith. He also commended the faith of others by connecting the miraculous blessings that they received to their faith. In Matthew 9 and verse 29, he said to the blind man, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And then he declared in the very next verse, "And their eyes were opened." So they had enough faith for their eyes to be opened. So there is a direct link there between the miracle that took place and their faith. We read in Mark 2 and verse 5, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Once again, there's a direct link between the blessings received and faith. He said to the woman with a blood plague in Matthew 5, verse 34, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." To blind Bartimaeus, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." To the leper in Luke 17, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." To the woman in the house of the Pharisee, "Thy faith hath saved thee." So in each of those incidents, we see a link between the blessing received and the faith of these individuals. In each of these incidents, Christ recognized and Christ commended faith. But in our text verses, four times, Jesus says those words, "O ye of little faith." In each of these four incidents, Jesus is telling his own, in each case he's speaking to his own people. He's telling them that there was something wrong with their faith. He did not tell them that they did not have faith. He is saying that there is something wrong with their faith. He is saying that there was a flaw in their faith. So we see Jesus commended a type of faith, and we see Jesus rebuked a type of faith. Those two facts, Christ commending faith, Christ rebuking faith, ought to cause us to make personal examination regarding our faith. Do we have a faith that Christ commends? Or do we have a faith that Christ rebukes? And this is a matter of great significance, extremely important matter. So again, we want to speak on a faith rebuked by Christ. Consider the faith that Christ rebuked. Again, in our text verses, Christ with a tone of displeasure, no doubt, but perhaps more of a tone of pity than displeasure, says, "O ye of little faith." I believe those words were spoken mostly in a tone of pity, a tone of sorrow for his people. In each case, he charges them with having but little faith. So that ought to concern us. And it ought to cause us to ask, what is meant by little faith? Christ, again in our text, says to his people, "O ye of little faith," four times. Four times. What does he mean? What does he mean by that statement? I don't believe it's the absence of faith that he's dealing with. He's dealing with little faith. But what does that mean? What does that mean? How do we measure faith? So what does little faith mean? The right answer to that question is found by paying attention to the context of the words, "O ye of little faith." And the answer to that question, what is meant by little faith, is found by seeing to whom is he speaking. In each case, he's speaking to his own. So in each case, he's addressing saved people. So if he's addressing saved people, they possessed saving faith. They had saving faith. But he rebukes their faith. And I believe as you look at the context of each of these statements, you see the characteristics of little faith, which of course helps us identify what is meant by little faith. Also, in each of the four times where we see those words, little faith is the root problem in every one of those cases. It's the problem. The storm wasn't the problem. The boisterous waves weren't the problem. The problem was with faith. Little faith. That is minute faith. But who is it that determines when faith is little? It means that which falls short. Little faith is faith that falls short. It is really almost insignificant and inconsequential. It is very limited. Little faith is very limited. Little faith is insufficient. It was insufficient in each of these cases. In every case where Jesus said, "Oh, you have little faith," their faith was insufficient in their life. So let's look at this little faith. Let's look at some characteristics of this little faith. First of all, again, it is a limited faith. If you look at the faith that Christ commends, it is a faith that it's called great faith. In other words, it extends to and it has some influence over the whole life of a person. It is a faith that has an influence over the whole life of a person. But little faith does not. Little faith does not extend to the whole life. Little faith does not influence the entire life. But rather, little faith is very, very limited. Again, we're not talking about no faith. But little faith is very limited. Again, speaking to his people, O ye of little faith, is not the absence of faith, but I believe it is a faith that does not go beyond salvation. He's talking to saved people. They possessed saving faith. Little faith believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask someone who has this little faith if they have believed on Jesus Christ for salvation, and they certainly have. So little faith, again, it doesn't mean that they don't have faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. But little faith does not believe Him in the everyday matters of life, or is incapable of applying Him in the everyday matters of life. So it is not only, it's very limited. It is a confined faith. It may lay hold of certain promises of God, but it does so under very limited circumstances. That's a little faith. That is a confined and limited faith. It is little faith that asked the question that is asked in Psalm 78 and verse 13, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You see, the wilderness is a stumbling block to little faith. Not only the wilderness, but just about every obstacle, every circumstance that comes up, faith stumbles. This little faith stumbles at these obstacles. As long as everything is going just as the person wants it to go, they believe in Jesus, they have faith that has saved their soul, and as long as everything is going their way, everything's fine. But as soon as there's an obstacle, there's a stumbling block. That's little faith. Little faith cannot get beyond these obstacles. One may have saving faith and yet not have enough faith to apply God for everyday matters. Jesus addressed that in Matthew 6, verses 30 through 33. He spoke of how they were concerned about their food and their raiment, their housing, concerned for all of these things. And Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. If God so clothed the grass of the field, He's going to take care of us. But little faith does not have the ability to apply God or the teachings of God to everyday life. One may have faith believing that this is the Word of God. They are absolutely convinced that this is the Word of God. That's faith. But their faith is little in that it is unable to apply the Word of God to their lives. That's a little faith. Even if they have faith enough to apply it to someone else's life but can't apply it to their own, that's a little faith. Unable to apply what they believe. In the case of Matthew 16 and verse 8, the apostles did not understand the very plain teaching of Jesus Christ. And because they could not understand it, they could not make personal application. And they were left to their human reasoning. That's what little faith does. Little faith quickly reverts to human reasoning. It finds solace there. It finds comfort there. That's little faith. Resorting to human reasoning robs us of rest in Christ. And little faith robs us of rest in Christ. Little faith from Matthew 6, we see, causes worry over worldly matters. From Matthew 8, verse 26, and from Matthew 14, verse 31, we see fear is connected with little faith. Fear. So there is no rest. There is worry, anxiety. There is fear. And it's all connected to little faith. So it seems to me that if we are children of God, and we are controlled by, we do not find rest in Jesus Christ, and we are fearful, and we're anxious, and we worry, that's a little faith. It's not necessarily no faith, but it's a little faith. You may firmly believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've trusted Him. And you may firmly believe that this is the Word of God. But little faith is unable to carry those truths over into everyday life. So when an individual possesses little faith, they fail to apply to the details and circumstances of life what they know and what they claim to believe. They're just unable to apply it to their everyday life. That's little faith. It's very limited. It's confined. It's like it's in a box. Little faith. Secondly, little faith causes one to be mastered by their circumstances. It is stated in 1 John 5 and verse 4, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." But looking at the four incidents where Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith," faith wasn't overcoming anything, but rather was overcome. That's a little faith. Little faith does not overcome. Little faith is overcome by circumstances. Little faith is overcome by obstacles. In Matthew chapter 6, we see people are sitting under a cloud of concern over food and raiment. And these concerns for these things are bearing down upon them, just pressing down upon them. They have no rest, they have no peace. And they become victims to their worry. They become victims to the need for food and raiment. And Jesus says the root problem is not the food, it's not the raiment. The root problem is, "Oh, ye of little faith." There's the problem. In Matthew 8, verse 26, the apostles are caught in the storm. They become very, very fearful because of the storm, or in this storm, they become very fearful. And they jump to the conclusion, "We're going to perish. We're going to die." Little faith does that. It jumps to conclusions. They were being mastered. They were being controlled. And they were being governed by the storm. Jesus says, "O ye of little faith." And when He spoke those words, He identified the real problem. The real problem was not the storm. And may I say, the problem is hardly ever the storm. The problem was with their faith. That was the problem. "O ye of little faith in Matthew 14. When, again, Peter had enough faith, tremendous faith, to step out of that boat. But as he was walking toward Christ, he saw the wind boisterous. And it says he was afraid and beginning to sink. What happened? Peter was now under the control of what he saw. He was under the control of what he felt, the wind all around him. Christ comes to his rescue and says to him, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The problem was not the waves. The problem was not the boisterous wind. The problem was little faith. Christ did not say to Peter, Peter, the wind sure is blowing hard today. It's not what he said. That wasn't the problem. The problem was little faith. The problem was with his faith. And that's what little faith does. Little faith allows circumstances, whatever they might be, to bludgeon us, to beat us to death. Little faith does that. Thirdly, little faith does not focus upon God. In Matthew chapter 6, the primary focus is upon life, food, drink, and clothing. That's the primary focus. But notice what Christ does in Matthew 6 and verse 30. With the primary focus upon life, food, drink, and clothing. Verse 30, wherefore if God, what's he doing? He's drawing their attention to God. That's the problem with little faith. And then he closes verse 30 by saying, oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. The problem with little faith is it does not focus upon God. I'm not saying it never sees God. That's no faith. But little faith has difficulty focusing upon God. It's constantly distracted away from God. It'll jump from one worry to another worry in a matter of seconds. It'll just jump from one thing to another. Little faith. The same is true in Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 14. The primary focus in those incidents was the storm. That's what they were focused upon. Also in Matthew 16, the primary focus was upon their own reasoning. When one possesses little faith, their focus is upon the wrong objects. And when you focus long enough upon the wrong object, everything becomes skewed. Everything. You're thinking. Your reason, everything becomes skewed. And that is what, again, we're talking to God's people. We're not talking about no faith. We're talking about little faith. Little faith has difficulty focusing upon God. It's not that it never sees God, but it has difficulty remaining focused upon the Lord. In Matthew 16, because of little faith, Christ was teaching them, and they completely missed the point. And all what we miss because of little faith. All what we miss. We miss the simple teachings of Christ. We miss many a blessing. We miss much peace and rest. We miss much. By little faith. It's a great thief. Fourthly, little faith causes one to live after the pattern of the heathen, of lost man. In Matthew chapter 6, after Christ issued that statement, O ye of little faith, he went on to tell them that their behavior resembled that of the heathen. He said in verse 32, for after all these things, the things that sustain life, do the Gentiles or do the heathen seek? What Jesus is telling them is you're living like lost people. That's what he's telling them. You're living just like the Gentiles. You're living like the heathen. O ye of little faith. So who are the Gentiles in this case? Who, the heathen. Well, they're people who have no revelation from God. And he says, you're living like they do. You're living like you have no revelation from God. The heathen are people who have no knowledge of God. And Christ is saying that little faith lives as if a person has no knowledge of God whatsoever. The heathen are entirely ignorant of the view of life which is taught in the Word of God. They know nothing of the exceeding great and precious promises. They know nothing about the pledges that God has given to His own people in the world. And the Lord is saying, you're patterning your life after the heathen. The heathen are in darkness about life in this world. They are in darkness about how life is to be lived. We know not what a day may bring forth. We realize that. But as God's people, we ought not be in darkness about what's going on, because it's plainly taught us in God's Word. It's just a matter of applying it to our lives. The heathen, they don't have a clue what's going on. They don't have a clue why everything is happening that is happening. But that shouldn't be the case with God's people. So they're in darkness. They're in darkness as how life is to be lived. They have no clue on how to live life. They've disregarded the instruction book. They don't have a clue how to live life. But you and I that have been saved, we have some idea of how life is to be lived. But the Lord here says that when you have little faith, you're basically following the pattern of the heathen. You live like you know nothing, is what the Lord is telling them. So to have the heathen, their view of life is entirely limited by their own thoughts. You think of the lost. Their view of life is entirely limited by what they think. There are many of God's people that way. That's a little faith. That's the result of little faith. So to have little faith results in one living after the pattern of the heathen. It doesn't mean that they've become heathen. It simply means rather than following God's ways, they are following the pattern of the heathen. And the results are basically the same. If the things of this life are first, that's the pattern of the heathen. If the things of this life monopolize our life and monopolize our thinking, that is the pattern of the heathen. And for a child of God, it is evidence that we have but little faith. A faith that has never really advanced further than the salvation of your soul. Again, many children of God, if you talk to them about salvation, they have right views. They can tell you how a person is saved. And I believe they probably have saving faith. But if you talk to them about life in general, they have worldly minds. They're worried about everything, and the things of life control them. And their happiness or unhappiness is strictly dependent upon whatever's going on in their life. That's little faith. That's little faith. And it's patterning your life after heathen. So we have to make some personal examination. Do I face the things that happen to me as God teaches? Or am I more in line with the heathen? It can be, the first reaction could be anger, the first reaction could be worry, whatever. Is our reaction more in line with what the Lord teaches, or is it more in line with the world? And once again, it's not what we eventually come around to. What really tells who we are is our first reaction. When difficulties about needs arise, how do we face them? When difficulties arise in some relationship in life, how do we react? Basically, how do I react to sorrow? How do I react to problems? How do I react to trials? How do I react to sickness or death? Am I brought under the control of these things? Am I brought under the mastery of these things? If so, that's a little faith. Your faith is overcome by those things. That's a little faith. Great faith overcomes all things. So consider the seriousness of this rebuke, little faith. Oh, ye of little faith, that is not a trivial matter. You think about what faith is, and it's certainly not a trivial thing if our faith is small. Faith is persuasion. Faith is confidence in God. Faith is dependence and reliance upon God. Faith is unreserved trust in the Lord. Faith is leaning upon God. Faith is resting upon God. Faith is cleaving to God. Faith is looking to God, coming to God, fleeing to God, casting ourselves upon God. Faith is living in the reality of God. Faith is letting go. Whatever it is, it needs to be let go. Faith is seeing God. Faith is embracing the things of God. Faith is agreement with God. That's basically what faith is. It is agreement with God. God says such and such, I agree with it. And we apply it to our lives. Faith is believing. Faith is acting upon what is believed. So from all of that, we see that faith concerns one's relationship with God. Faith determines what one does concerning God. So therefore, little faith is a very serious matter. It is a matter of negative consequence. It is a very serious thing to have little faith. How much we live in the awareness of God. Romans 12, verse 3, I believe it is, speaks about our measure of faith. Faith has degrees. As we've seen, there's great faith, there's little faith. Those are two extremes. But there are degrees of faith. And we live in the awareness of God in proportion to our faith. When it comes really down to it, our degree of dedication, our degree of commitment and surrender to God is in proportion to our faith. Our ambition for God, our pursuit of God, is linked to our faith. Our degree of nonconformity to God, our degree of transformation to Christ, is in proportion to our faith. Our degree of serving the Lord is linked to faith. Our obedience to God is linked to faith. Our following the Lord is linked to faith. Our prayer life is linked to faith. Our love for God is linked to faith. You cannot separate them. Our enjoyment of the Lord is linked to faith. Our peace, the peace of God, is linked to faith. Our assurance, our zeal, our endurance in the Lord's service, all these are linked to faith. Somehow. So, our establishment in the matters of God is linked to faith. Our spiritual prosperity is linked to faith. We read in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20, "Believe in the Lord your God, and be ye established. Believe ye His prophets, and prosper." Spiritual prosperity and faith go hand in hand. Our degree of pleasing God, our degree of living for His honor and His glory is linked to faith. A life of faith is how we live above this crazy world. It's by faith. It's faith that enables us to do that. A life lived by faith is how we live above the mere shadow of religion. A shadow of religion will not help you. For the most part. It may make you feel good every now and then, but it's not really going to help you. A life lived by faith is how to think right. The way to think right is to live by faith. The way to make right choices is to live by faith. The way to keep the clutter out of our lives is to live by faith. So, if all that being true, this matter of little faith is quite serious. A life of faith is how we are not. It is how we avoid being mastered and how we avoid being controlled and governed by circumstances. The individual that is mastered and controlled by circumstances is a miserable individual because circumstances can change within seconds. I mean, they're up and down. It'd drive you nuts. The way to avoid that is faith. A life lived by faith will enable one to worship God, no matter what. Again, all through the Bible, we see individuals building an altar and worshiping God. The one, of course, that always comes to our mind is Job in the midst of adverse circumstances, extremely adverse circumstances. He was able to worship. Why? Because he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith. Now, as you read on in the book of Job, there were occasions where Job's faith began to waver. And we all know that by experience. Faith can waver. But you can't stay there. I guarantee you, your faith is going to waver. My faith is going to waver. But you can't stay there. Because if you do, you are looking at a life of misery. That's a little faith. Again, we're not talking about the unsaved person. We're talking about God's people. We're not talking about no faith. We're talking about little faith. Little faith doesn't overcome. A life of faith is a way to overcome. 1 John 5, verse 4. So a life lived by faith is where a relationship with God is found. That being so, little faith is a very serious matter. This is no trivial matter. So again, we see that Christ commended a certain type of faith. He called it great faith. And again, it mystifies me, but it says he marveled. He marveled at the faith of the centurion. And then he commended that faith. But as we've seen tonight, he also rebukes a certain type of faith. And he calls that little faith. And oh, what a difference between great faith and little faith. Little faith is, again, very, very limited. It's confined. May be able to hold on to certain promises of God under certain circumstances. But great faith is extensive. It goes through the entire life. This little faith that Christ rebukes causes one to be mastered and controlled. Whereas great faith is powerful and a dominating influence in one's life. This little faith is obscured, where great faith projects throughout one's life. Little faith is very easily distracted, where great faith is preoccupied with who and what the Lord is. Little faith is easily drawn in the human reason. People go back and forth. They read a verse of Scripture and then they start to think. And sometimes their thinking gets them in trouble because there's no faith or there's very little faith. And they begin to go back and forth between human reasoning and what God's Word says. And that's how you have some heresies. It's kind of a mixture. A little bit of human reasoning, a little bit of faith. A little bit of human reasoning, a little bit of what God says. And pretty soon you have an error. You have something that's just not so. You have a very dangerous doctrine. Little faith, again, is easily drawn in human reasoning. Fails to really grasp the teachings of the Lord. Great faith, of course, just the opposite. Little faith is disconnected with the issues of life. Whereas great faith is relevant. And it has impact upon our life. This little faith that Christ rebukes does not really alter one's life. It does not change their life. But great faith transforms. Great faith transforms lives. So again, we must ask ourselves, and again, I suppose it depends when we ask ourselves a question. Do I have the faith that the Lord commends, or do I have the faith that the Lord rebukes? Perhaps we need to ask, because there are times we have the faith that Christ rebukes. There may be times we have the faith that Christ commends. So perhaps what we need to ask is, what dominates our life? The faith that Christ commends or the faith that Christ rebukes? What is it that dominates our lives? Which one of those two is most common in our lives? We ought to long for great faith. And then if we achieve that, if God grants us great faith, then we need to pray, Lord, increase it. Increase it. Because none of us have the faith that we should have. None of us do. We don't have the faith that we should have on a consistent basis. Because the devil is very good, and the flesh is very good at throwing things at us constantly. Getting our minds off of what God says and getting us to focus, almost hypnotizing us with the things and the reasonings of the world. You talk to somebody and you tell them what God's Word says, and then they'll say, well, so-and-so says this, and that so-and-so could be high in dope. And they almost make that person equal with God. I mean, people have lost their minds. They go back and forth. We must have faith. And these days in which we live, things are getting worse and worse and worse and worse. You've got to have faith to press on. Whatever obstacles fall in front of us, we need the faith to persevere through that obstacle, moving on to the next obstacle. Because you get past one, there's going to be another one. It may only be a few inches away. It may be a mile down the road, but I promise you, you get past one obstacle, there's going to be another one. And our flesh is an obstacle every day. And it's faith that perseveres through the obstacles. We need a faith bigger than the obstacles, and the obstacles are big. But little faith makes them bigger than they are. The obstacles are big enough. We don't need to make them bigger than they are. But that's what little faith does. Little faith is very good at making problems bigger than they are. So God help us to have a faith that the Lord commends. God help us to have great, great faith. And to encourage one another, to have faith, to encourage one another. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Just look to Him. Let go. Look to Him. You need to be an encouragement to one another. To just keep looking to the Lord. It'll get us through. It'll not only get us through, it'll cause us to prosper as we get through. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.